the finance committee meeting order.
Committee Chair Banks?
Here.
Director Moore?
Here.
Director Prado?
Here.
Director Wiseman?
Here.
Thank you. I wanted to just start out the meeting by introducing a couple of new staff members who are here at the table. I think we sent out a note to all of the directors about this, but we have two new additions. John Donato is joining us. He's our new Chief of Procurement. As you may recall, Scott Sims was filling in the acting role. Albert had transitioned to the acting state purchasing officer, a position that was created through Senate Bill 51 and some of the procurement reform that took place last year. John comes to us from CMS and has a long background in state procurement and working with state government. So he, I think, brings a lot of experience to the table in that regard, and was actually CMS's deputy director of procurement for 2 years. So I know he will do everything possible to get everything through CMS very quickly.
We won't hold that against you.
I was going to say.
I'll try.
Right.
Good thing he'll now know what it's like from the other side.
Right.
Yeah, the dark side. Ready to learn.
So,
no, they're the dark side.
That's it. Yeah, he's no, put the label on me already.
Yes, and I'd like to thank Scott Sims for his work in that role in acting capacity. It is not an easy job and a lot of
he did a good job.
Stress, so we appreciate his work. I also want to introduce Michael Stone. He is our new Chief of Administration. He comes to us from the Cook County Assessor's Office, where he worked for 8 years. In various roles there, he had responsibility for their human resources as well as other, you know, administrative and operational responsibilities there, and I think comes with great experience. He is an attorney, which we won't hold against him, but I think brings a good background, a good skill set to that job, so I wanted to welcome both Michael and John.
Well, Michael, anybody had to deal with my buddy Jim Houlihan for 8 years is up to the job out here. we'll be happy to have you on.
Right, don't tell any stories about dealing with me.
And I need that one. I want to make the point that what you see is the result of a lot of work on behalf of Christy and others in identifying candidates, interviewing candidates, doing background checks. And this is, it looks easy once we get the perfect people here, but the process is really a very arduous, time-consuming one. So congratulations to you.
Thank you.
She's been very, very focused and eager to get these positions filled.
Yeah, they're definitely filling some much-needed vacancies, so thank you very much for that. We're happy to have them on board. So thank you, Mr. Chair, for the digression.
Great. Moving on then to the minutes from our January meeting.
So moved.
Is there a motion? And a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, minutes are approved. Next up, information. Yes. Information technology.
Thank you. The IT department has one item for consideration this month on the consent agenda. The item is a resolution approving a one-year renewal of Microsoft software maintenance and support via CMS master contract CMS 5003-360. This renewal would provide for continued 24/7 support by Microsoft and allow us to economically upgrade any of our previously purchased products to the latest release, including our current Windows XP operating system. The renewal terms cover the period from October 1st, 2010 through September 30th, 2011. During 2010, there was an extended contract negotiation between CMS, Microsoft, and CDW, which delayed a timely renewal. The total cost is $67,184.32.
So moved. Has that number changed? It's 67,000. It's different on my notes. I had 67,837.80.
I'm not sure. I have.
I'm not sure which number do you prefer the most?
67,184.
Okay, also move.
Second.
I have one question on that, and this is again an educational question. We show the account, Mike, that is $668,000 in the budget. and this is $67,000 against that larger line item. And then below that, you say $118,642 has been spent. So right now, this committee would take us, I mean, how are we monitoring to make sure we don't over-approve when a line item has multiple contracts in it? Or am I completely confusing?
So you're asking, is there still room?
You look at that. It appears there's still room, but it just, I'm assuming that line item, 01000161100, is for more than just this contract.
It needs to be approved by the budget office before it makes it onto the agenda, and they determine it's in the budget, but, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. We have to monitor, our analysts have to work with the department to monitor the contracts and spending early in the year to ensure that we don't obligate all of the budget authority and not have the ability to meet critical obligations later in the year. Some of these are of a nature where you're going to spend more of it at the beginning of the year.
Right. Maybe just put another footnote in there indicating with this approval, we will have encumbered X number of dollars, so we'll know that we've now committed $200,000 of the $668,000. And encumbered, I understand, is a term that means we will not necessarily spend it, but the power to spend it is approved.
We do have.
I agree, earlier in the year, it's not a problem.
What's in the comments section, that $118,000?
That's the $118,000 spent or obligated.
Isn't that what you asked before?
I'm not sure, that's what I'm.
It looks like it is, but maybe there's a way to present it in the chart.
Well, maybe what I'm looking for is the $118,642, if it includes the $67,000, if you, I'm just adding it together and assuming we're now at about $200,000.
No, I think your interpretation of that is accurate.
Okay.
That was what was.
So my term encumbered would be what you say is spent or obligated. Okay, that satisfy you, but thank you.
Is that it?
Yep.
Director Morris, you made the motion?
Yes, sir.
I believe it was seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Is that it for IT?
Yes.
Mr. Donato, procurement.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, directors. Procurement has two items for your consideration. The first item is a CMS master contract to purchase copier paper. This contract provides a source for three different sizes of recycled and virgin copier paper used throughout the tollway. The award is recommended to the lowest and responsive bidder, Midland Paper Company, in amount not to exceed $44,000 for a one-year period. The most commonly used paper is 8.5 by 11 white. We use approximately 1,327 boxes or 13,270 reams last year, and this amounted to 92% of our paper usage. The price per ream for virgin paper is $2.67, which is 22 cents or 8% lower than the previous contract. The price per ream of recycled paper is $2.94, which is 16 cents or 5% lower than the old contract. Midland is incorporated in Addison, Illinois, and has been in business for over 100 years and employs 450 people.
Okay. All right.
It's a very thorough.
We know a lot about that.
We know where we're spending.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion. Second. I don't think we need any other discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. And Christy, did you want to speak to the next one?
Yes, I know. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I mentioned to the directors last year that we were going to pursue a bit of a contract for our legislative services in Springfield. At the time, I mentioned that we were going to try to combine that with a federal presence. Ultimately, with the transportation reauthorization and other kind of the federal situation being in flux, we ultimately had to break that out and make them ultimately two separate, potentially two separate procurements. So this contract is for only our services at the state level. I know some of the directors mentioned some questions about the federal services anyway, so I think it was a good opportunity for us to revisit and make sure that we were and are doing what we need to do if we need a federal presence and how we should have that federal presence. this contract. We went out through the RFP process. Ultimately, I will say that I think that this representation in Springfield is critical for us. Through the efforts of our contract lobbyists and our efforts in Springfield, the tollway managed to save, in some cases, up to potentially even $80 million of additional expenses that would have resulted if legislation would have gone through, or there would have been additional mandates placed on us in our construction programs, or things that we thought would be unfavorable to our to us in our financial position. As you can see here, I will say that I was a little bit disappointed that we didn't get more bidders for this contract. We did try to, we certainly posted it and tried to get the word out about it. We ultimately had two bidders, but one of them was deemed, because they didn't submit again much of the required paperwork. There are lots of different forms and documentation that's necessary in order to be considered for a procurement with the tollway and with state government generally. Our acting SPO reviewed the file and did determine that one of the bidders did not qualify due to just being incomplete in their submission. So we ultimately had one bidder, which again was to some extent, we're happy. Certainly that Colin decided to bid, but ultimately we would have liked to have seen, more interest, and we'll be taking a step back and seeing if we do move forward with some federal services, how we can make sure to, again, get the word out so that people can, and additional companies can bid. So I would turn it over to the presentation of the contract. There may be some discussion on this item. We'd be happy to discuss that. But it did go through an RFP process, and we are happy with the results and with the amount that we're contracting the services for.
It does seem odd, though, that with all the lobbying firms out there, that we don't have more participation.
One thing that we proposed, and I think that it's, if we can have those conversations, I think we should have better understand why folks decided, not to pursue it. We do have some fairly stringent requirements about any kind of conflicts with our firms. So if a company has, is representing, someone who happens to be a tollway vendor or contractor or, something where there would present a conflict, we are very mindful of that. So I know that the industry is aware of those provisions, and maybe that did, limit the pool of vendors who might have been available or interested in bidding on something because they knew that they would have conflicts that then they would.
So if someone was a Tang and awarded a contract to, if someone represented Tang, then they couldn't represent us?
Well, they would have to disclose it, and then we'd make a determination. Some are more of a conflict than others. Clearly, we have Pepsi in our vending machines. We would analyze them on a case-by-case basis, but something like that, we would, that would be an example, not Tang in particular, but certainly
Right. Generally
a consultant or a contractor that has gotten or gets significant work from the tollway, that would be something that would, cause us to take a strong look at whether that was appropriate for our, lobbyists or contract consultants in Springfield to also represent a company that did that kind of work with the tollway. We'd probably say no.
This is like the third or fourth thing then today where we have one or two or very few bidders, and that's something you need to take a look at, because that's a little bit troubling. And there may be good explanations, but then is this a two-year contract or 1 year or what?
Two. It's not clear. Two-year.
It's a two-year contract, so that in 2 years we need to get the message out, and actually I think this is a good firm and they have a good reputation.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we need to get the message out, and I think part of it might have simply been that people, these folks have been doing work here for a long time, people know they do a good job, and might have just thought that it was more of a formality than anything. But I think we do, on a lot of these levels, we need to let people know that this is an open system, and it makes it more difficult for us when there's less competition.
And John and I have been talking, and he can certainly speak to it, but we have been talking about doing, you know, how we can formalize doing more proactive outreach.
Right.
You know, clearly you can't do it before something is posted, but, you know, once a solicitation is posted, trying to even be more proactive in doing outreach to make sure that the industry is aware of it. You know, I have participated in other state procurements for some type of services, not necessarily in Springfield, but the federal level or others, that similar types of firms, and they are well aware. You know, they watch for the bulletins and solicitations and are typically well aware and make strategic decisions about whether or not, you know, to bid on something. But I think more outreach, I agree with you. We want to be aggressive and make people aware.
I have a couple of questions. I'll be happy to make a motion if we want to have a motion before we have questions. This format, I thought this was $160,000 for 1 year, because then it took me back to my earlier question. We only had a $150,000 budget, therefore we had a problem. But you're saying this is a 2 year contract,
correct?
Correct.
See, okay. 2 year contract.
So it'd be $80,000 for one the first year.
Correct.
Okay.
Which is approximately what we've been spending.
Okay.
On the service.
That was the other question, is how much we've been spending in the past. And then third is, how do they get the MBE goal of 20%? Are they partnering with someone?
Yes.
And who is that?
Mona Martin.
It's
not. It's like a one-owner individual sole proprietorship. The name of the firm is Martin Mona.
That should be on here as well, so that we're aware who that firm is, if they're obviously representing us.
Sure. It will be in the future.
Okay. And then, and this might just be because I used to hang around with some of those guys in Springfield, and ladies in Springfield, I would like us to have this vendor make at least a semi-annual or quarterly report to the board, as well as the interaction you have on a daily basis, so that, you know, I'm not terribly comfortable with state agencies having their own lobbyists, but I can get past that for now. But I think since they're representing the 11 of us, the two ex officio members and the board, it would be nice that we know what they look like and they give us a little update on what's going on. And I think that's important. I think we need to kind of know that, because if legislators approach us on something back near where we live or something, and so I talk to so-and-so, it's like, well, I don't know who they are.
Sure.
So I think it would be nice to have maybe and have someone from their organization here once or twice a year to just let us know who they are.
And you mentioned this at the time when we originally said that we were going to go out with this procurement, so we've made some provisions with them. You know, they do give us, you know, regular reports on, particularly during the legislative session, obviously, on what's happening, and, you know, the bills that we are watching or you know, supporting. And those are shared, have been shared at this point with myself and the chair. We'll definitely start to distribute those among the board members and ask them to come in to maybe give a presentation or at least, and as you said, meet them and become familiar with them. That's an expectation we've set.
There have been controversies in the past, not necessarily with the tollway, but with various agencies, where some of the firms that hire government relations experts, they're kind of no-show jobs and they might not do much. And in this case, I do know Cullen and his firm do work on our behalf, but I think we need to make sure there's a documented trail that we're doing that, and it's not just someone who we think might be able to, in a pinch, help
us. And there
us
has
out.
Been a documented trail, certainly, frankly, beyond the last year, but certainly in the last year that I've been aware of. And again, you know, the chair received some of those reports, but we'll just make sure all of the board members have those on a regular basis, that they come in and make
summary,
a periodic presentation. Yes, a summary is what you want, I
agree. Yeah, just a summary, so that, because I think it's, you know, there is that whole issue that's part of our job, but it does, it, you know, with some of the issues that go on in Springfield, it's important that we have someone watching the back door on a regular basis, so we can get you there or the director there, or if you need one of us there to do our duty, so we can hopefully protect the tollway's interest in that. But at the same time, we need to make sure that we're aware of what's going on. But I'd be happy to make the motion.
And I will second that. Let me just add that I think it's important that we have this at our disposal, I think for a couple of reasons. I think we saw in the Doug session that things can happen very quickly. And I think the other thing is that oftentimes a legislator will propose something very well intended, but there may be unforeseen consequences to that legislation. That could be very problematic to us or some, particularly to us in this case. And I give an example. I think the Illinois EPA put forward proposed legislation that dealt with clean construction debris. And as it was closely looked at, the cost that would accrue to this agency would have been huge. And so because we are on top of those things, and we have someone who sees them as they emerge, you might say, it's a very, very critical service to make sure that that the interest, not simply of the tollway per se, but of tollway users, are taken care of. So we just, as a city of Aurora, just went through this process and renewed a contract for legislative liaison services as well. And I can say that, judging from what I looked at then, the numbers here that we're talking about are quite reasonable. Mm-hmm.
So let me make two summary points. One is, I think that, and this has been very helpful, when Christie said we had foregone X amount of money because we had this person in Springfield, I think that's the kind of report we'd like, with some documentation on it. And then the second is a more general point about not getting as many competitive bids as we had thought on some of these. And we, if at some point we could come back to the board and explain what the limitations are on our going back and finding that out, right? And we just need to know legally what we're allowed to do to go back to the non-bidders and find out why they didn't bid. So we'll
right, with the new ethics, so we have to be careful, yep. Because I happen to know a lot of people in this world, and I would hate to start calling people to ask why they didn't do it and then hit run. Have them and myself both being exposed.
Which is
situation.
Exactly why I want to have somebody come back and tell us what a legal appropriate process right. is to do this.
So I see Tom taking some notes on that point, so I know we'll look into that as a good. Right.
And I think it's important for the public to understand that we are, our goal is to get the best pricing, the best professionals in that, and we're serious about this, and that while we have a firm here that we have a lot of respect for, it is important that every third year or so they have to stand up and salute as well, so that both the pencil is sharp and the performance is sharp. And that doesn't mean when we go out for our RFQs we're really negative on a firm that's doing work for us.
Right.
Okay. We get a motion?
And we have a second.
I think it
we have a motion.
Second.
Second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thank you. I think that's it for procurement, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Moving on to operations.
So we're happy to bring this item to the board. As you know, we've been working with the Service Employees International Union for over 2 years to try to come to an agreement on contract terms. This is the union, just to remind you all, that represents the agency's toll collectors, custodians, and a couple of the other folks who work, clerks, for instance, and others in the maintenance unit. They represent about 40% of our approximately 1,600 tollway employees. So it's a significant union and a strong partner for us in making sure that we're delivering good service to our customers. We were thrilled that on January 28th, SEIU's membership voted to ratify the agreement. I know we've all been very much engaged in updates on this two-year process that we've moved toward, and we're happy to bring it to hopefully resolution today with the agreement to by the board to officially approve the contract terms and contract that we've come to at least a preliminary agreement with the union on. So Jeff is going to present some of the additional details. Jeff Redding has been working closely with a team of people here to make sure that we could come to some resolution on this, and we are, I think, happy with ultimately the agreement that we struck with the union. We think it's fair to all parties and is thoughtful of the economic circumstances that, frankly, the tollway finds itself in right now. So,
thank you, Trustee. Oh, good morning, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Directors. The new agreement reached with SEIU, as Christie says, is both financially responsible for the tollway and fair to our employees. Excuse me. For the first time, the agreement will require employees to pay contributions for health care premiums if any of the other toll unions agree to do the same. The new agreement provides severance packages that could reduce SEIU headcount by up to 40 positions. The agreement provides SEIU members with wage increases of 1%, 2%, 2%, and 2.5% per year over the duration of the four-year contract from 2009 through 2012. An average annual increase of approximately 1.9%. The new agreement also provides a $250 one-time lump sum payment to each SEIU employee. It provides a slight increase in the sick time for part-time toll collectors, adds a new longevity clause to the contract that increases hourly wages by 15 cents at 20 years and an additional 25 cents at 25 years for the total increase of 40 cents for longtime SEIU employees. It includes a 2% equity adjustment for a small subset of SEIU employees and does not include any minimum staffing requirements for toll collectors. The tollway will have sufficient funds in the agency's 2011 and 2012 budgets to pay any additional costs associated with this new agreement, inclusive of pension, FICA, and other costs. For these reasons, we're recommending that the board support the resolution to enter into this new contract with SEIU. Thank you.
So moved.
Second.
Any further discussion?
No, I think you did a good job here. I just wanted to say that.
When I came on the board to this, it's a good agreement. I think it's very fair, too. I think it's important to note with what's going on in the economy and with public employees, this is a very fair way to do it and stays within our finances. And I compliment them for their agreement on the health care because that is critical, and I hope the others will follow suit because without that, there will be draconian measures down the road. So it's important that we were able to get this agreement. Good job, everybody.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you. That's it for operations.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Legal has the following six items for your consideration for the consent agenda. Item one is an intergovernmental agreement with IDOT and Wisconsin DOT. It provides for the removal of a tollway dynamic message sign that is currently on IDOT property between Russell Road and the Wisconsin state border on I-94. It moves necessary because IDOT and WISDOT are widening the road in that stretch.
Is that the one that taught the Wisconsin legislators how to get to Illinois?
The estimated cost is $85,000.
Will a board be replaced there, a message board?
Yes, it'll be moved approximately 50 feet, and this is covering the cost of relocation, rebuilding the foundation for the message sign, so there'll still be the message.
I happen to live up in that area, and that project is really an excellent project because Illinois and Wisconsin, the tollway in Wisconsin coordinated, and I think the state with Route 41, and it is better already during construction. It will be a much safer area when it's all done, so anything we can do to cooperate is very helpful. Do you want to take these all together, or should we?
No, let's take a motion.
Okay, I'll make a motion.
Sure.
Seconded, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Next item.
Thank you. Item two is an intergovernmental agreement with the Village of Rosemont covering the project at Valmore Isle Avenue in the Tri-State. I know Rocco outlined it for the board, and I believe you can follow up that.
Right. Thank you. As you all may recall, Mr. Chair, after last month's meeting, the board wanted to convene a working group to really look at this because it is a slightly new way for the tollway to handle these cost-sharing agreements on an interchange project, but this is, we felt, and as I think you all learned at last month's meeting, an important project and certainly an important project for economic development in the region and in Rosemont in particular. Through the good work of Director Saldana, who I think has a couple of things that she might add here, the group, I think, came to a point where they're comfortable recommending, but I don't want to take words out of your mouth. So, Director, would you?
Yeah, I just have some brief comments, and the other directors who participated in. We did meet in February with Director Prado and Director Canham and with staff to review the policy and review this proposal from Rosemont, whereby they will take the lead in terms of financing and construction the ramp at Balmoral, which we reviewed a couple of things. We reviewed the history, we reviewed the benefit of this project for the overall system, and it does have some regional benefits. It has some specific benefits to us. And in terms of the financing, we did give them guidance so that we are protected in terms of the max amount that we will contribute. It keeps us within our 50% policy, and in terms of being able to recover the cost, because we are only obligating ourselves to donate, to reimburse them for our share of the cost at 50% of whatever the revenues are at the ramp, so that's sort of protected. And in terms of Mike's ability to recover the cost, they did some projections with Wilbur Smith, and we were well within the parameters, I think, of our policy. It is a new way of us to do things in terms of having Rosemont take the lead of construction, but I think while Paul would rather be in charge of construction, we were responsible for the design of our project. And in addition, in terms of the regional benefits, Rockwood could speak to the fact that because there's some other things going on up there with IDOT, this will add some relief with some upcoming construction. Will give us additional access to O'Hare up there in that region. So with that, I mean, we recommended it. If Tom or Mike want to talk more about the financial that we agreed to, I mean, that we as a committee or as a working group recommended, you know, they can feel so specific, but it's a good project.
So to be clear, this is the first time we've ever done this, correct?
In this fashion, I believe. We have one example, though, in the Rockford area that I think
Riverside Boulevard.
Yes, I believe so. So there is some precedent, and there's a lot of precedent for agreements involving localities. This is, again, not unique, but somewhat unique in having Rosemont take the lead in the construction and financing.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
They've done a great job of giving us the benefits without the burdens, which is sometimes hard to do. So it would be a good example for us to follow through and see if we can use this with other.
And they've agreed that the cap, right?
Yep.
Yes, the tollways contribution is capped at 50% of the toll rates initially established toll rates at
the X number of years.
And for a maximum of 25 years.
Okay. Because we are also agreeing to pay them the financing costs, since they're actually issuing bonds to finance the whole the construction of not only the ramp but also some roadway improvements. And so we also cap what we would pay for in terms of interest expense of not the lesser of 6% or their actual all-in cost for the financing. And the 50% is the lesser of, you know, 50% of the ramp revenue over 25 years or 50% of mm-hmm. our cost, whichever is lesser.
Whichever comes to it,
yeah. So it's, Director can't have put it right, you know. The benefits and the burdens, you know, I think it's
did they agree to involve MBWB firms in the underwriting?
Yes. Yeah. Or, they agreed to do it in their construction.
The IGA sure provides that in any contracts let pursuant to the agreement, they'll include.
So will we make it clear to them that includes an agreement among underwriters to sell the bonds?
We have conveyed the importance of that, but it is not specifically written in the agreement.
I'd just like to thank all the directors, Director Saldana, Director Cannon, Director Cradle, who worked on this for us, and thank you very much for your input. We definitely, I think, have a better product as a result. So we love to tap into your expertise, and we appreciate all of that work. So thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I think it's a great idea, and I think Rosemont is the right place to do this. So with that, is there a motion?
Moved.
Motion.
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Bring that to the board. Thank you.
Great. Item 3 is a public-private partnership with the Sanctuary Homeowners Association and IDOT dealing with the wetlands. The homeowners wish to install some enhanced fencing and are willing to pay the $3,000 cost for the fencing.
So moved.
Okay. Motion, second, and discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay. Thank you. Items 4 and 5 are workers' compensation settlements. Item 4 covers an employee who suffered wrist and elbow injuries that required surgery and is the amount of $56,605. Item 5 involves an employee who suffered a back injury requiring surgery and is in the amount of $83,090. Both employees are back at work after rehabilitation, and both settlements are within the case reserves.
And as counsel, you're recommending settlement.
I am.
Questions on items 4 and 5?
So moved.
Motion to approve. And is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The final item is a proposed settlement of $136,000 property damage claim arising from an accident that damaged a tow-away noise wall. The tow-away's outside counsel, legal staff, and risk management departments have concluded that a settlement of at least $45,000 is in the best interest of the tow-away, considering the financial resources that are available to the defendants.
This means they'll pay us already to help restore the wall?
Exactly.
Second.
Motion moved and seconded. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Tom, does our insurance cover the balance of that?
Our insurance has a self-insured retention above that.
Motion to adjourn.
Well, anything further?
I just want to correct something I said earlier. You asked about the bank agreements. We've actually completed a little more than I thought. We've completed $600 million of the $1.3 billion. We have $700 million left, and there are six banks that are in those agreements. And if you wanted to know who the banks are, Citi, PNC, Bank of Tokyo, Harris Bank, Northern Trust, Wells Fargo. So we have a lot of diversity in terms of that.
And we'd approved those banks a couple of months ago.
Yeah. And so I apologize for putting you on the spot. Like I said, I try not to come audible.
Blackberry. He likes it.
Blackberry. Yeah, right. So,
Mike, you can look at your wrist.
Bill's correct.
Thank you. But we'll do a more thorough, complete presentation on it next month. I know you have all that, so thank you.
Okay, anything else for the committee? Motion to adjourn?
So made.